right, we'll say good morning. So I just emailed it out. So hopefully, again, if you have the art scroll, you don't have to worry about it. But I guess even if you're on the art scroll, you don't have to worry about it. But might be in the other room. All right. All right, we'll say, let's begin. Mishnah and Daf Lamid Amud Aleph. So says the Mishnah, Shlosha Achin, Shnai Mehen Yisuish Deachayos. If you have three brothers, two of them are married to two sisters, Ve'echad Nasri Nochris. And one is married to, when we say Nochris, Nochris just simply means an unrelated woman. Meis Echad Mebalei Achayos. So one of the brothers died, V'kineis Nasri Nochris Es Ishto. And the brother who is married to the unrelated wife marries the widow, Umeis harisha umeis, and then he dies. So if you're looking on, if you have the art scroll, or if you hopefully you received my email, you didn't receive it yet?
No.
Oh wait, I didn't put this on. I forgot to put this on. A lot going on here today. I got it. Let me check again that it went. Oh, it didn't go. I'm sorry.
Just tell Hilly we're texting today. He's online. We're just texting each other.
All right, it should be there. A lot going on here today. All right. No, it was on airplane mode. That's for the recording. So now it should be going. I'm sorry. This is like a triathlon over here, right? I'm Daftiomi emailing. All right, so hopefully you'll receive it in just a few moments. So again, but I'm going to start. So if you take a look at the picture over here, so again, this is what's got it? Okay, so this is what's labeled. Forward it to Yerachmiel, to Shmuel, to people just walked in, so it'll be easier for them to follow. Okay, so we're looking over here at case number one. So remember, again, you have three brothers, Reuven, Shimon, and Levi. Reuven and Shimon are married to sisters. Levi's married to an unrelated woman. What happens? Shimon dies, and Levi does Yibum with Leah. So far, so good. Nothing's wrong. Then what happens? Levi dies, which is the last line on the picture over here. So when Levi dies, you have an issue. The issue is that Reuven, remember, is married to Rachel, who is a sister of Leah. So the issue over here, says the Gemara, is essentially, well, let's read the rest of the Mishnah. So the Mishnah says, Harishonu yotza mishum achos isha. So the first wife, i.e. Leah, will not be able to marry Reuven because she is the wife of Reuven's sister, bless you, ushnia mishum tsarasa. And the second wife, i.e. when the picture who's called the unrelated woman, will not be able to marry Reuven. Why? Because she is the co-wife of Reuven's sister's wife. She's a tsara. However, again, asa ba ma'amar, but let's say you have the same case. But instead of Levi marrying Leah, so ultimately, Levi just did Ma'amar, Umeis, and then Levi died after he did Ma'amar, but before he did Yibum. So the halach is, Nochris choletes velo misyabemes. The unrelated wife goes ahead and does Chalitza, but does not do Yibum. Says the Gemara, Taima da'avad Ma'amar. The reason why in the last case, so the unrelated woman called the Nochris does Chalitza, not Yibum, Davar Bamamar, because he did Mamar. Hala Ovid Bamamar, but if Mamar was not done, Nochris Nami Yevumi Nami Miyavma, then apparently again the unrelated wife would even be able to do Yibum. Amrav Nachman, Zosa Meres of Nachman says, this tells us, Ein Zeka Afilu Bechad Acha. I will say that according to this Mishnah, it would appear that Ein Zeka, there is no Zeka connection, even with one brother, because the fact that, again, it's only Ma'amar that would require her to do Chalitza, but apparently, again, in the absence of Ma'amar, the Nachris would even be able to go ahead and do Yibum, indicates to us that there's no Zeka. Okay, Mishnah. Shloshach, we're going to have a number of Mishnayis today, all with this three brother model. So now we're looking at case number two. I'm going to email this to you now, so you have it. You have it? Okay. Can you have Shmuel Kropkin's email? I have Shmuel Kropkin's email.
Visual handout.
Okay. Shmuel just sent it to you. All right. So take a look. Take a look now at number two. Mishnah number two. Shlosha Achim. You have three brothers. Shnayim Mehen. Nisu and Shtei Achayos. Two of them are married to two sisters. Ve'echad Nasui Nochris. And one is married to an unrelated woman. Umeis Hanasui Nochris. And the one who's married to the unrelated woman dies. Ve'kines Echad Mibale Achayos Esishto. And one of the other brothers who is married to one of the sisters marries the widow of the third brother who is married to the unrelated wife. We'll look at this in the picture in just a moment. It'll hopefully make a little bit more sense. And what happens? Umeis. So we'll say, take a look at the picture over here. So now you have three brothers. Still Reuven, Shimon, Levi. Reuven and Shimon are married. I'm sorry?
Second picture
where it says case number two. Case number two. So again, you have Reuven and Shimon who are married to two sisters, and Levi is married to an unrelated woman. Levi dies, and that's why in line number two, you see again, Levi dies, and therefore Shimon does Yibum with Reuven's wife. She's just called unrelated woman in this case. Then what happens? Afterwards, Shimon dies. So what is the halacha? Umeis. Harishoni yotzeis mishum achos isha. So remember, if you're looking at the picture, the first wife, we'll call her Leah, can't marry Reuven. Why? Because she is Rachel's sister. Ushnia mishum tsarasa. And the second wife is the co-wife of the wife's sister. And therefore, she can't do anything either. However, again, asa ba ma'amar. But let's say, again, if Shimon had only done a ma'amar with Levi's widow, the unrelated woman, umeis, and he died, nachris cholatzes v'lo mesya bemes, then the unrelated woman would do chalitza, but would not do yimra. We'll say, essentially, pretty much the same exact case as the previous Mishnah. To which the Gemara asks, Hasulamali, why do I need this case? Hainu hach, is this not the same as the case we just learned before? Uma hasam da'achus isha hadyitra l'nachris. In the previous case, where the sister is the tzara to the unrelated woman, amris nachris asura. So you said over there that the unrelated woman is asura. Hacha de nachris hadyitra l'achus isha l'kol shekein. Certainly over here that the unrelated woman is the tzara to the sister. Does it not go without saying that she's going to be asur? Yes. To which the Gemara says, Tana, Hach Tana Beresha. In reality, the Tana said this teaching originally. V'hach chaz yeleteira. And in the beginning, he actually thought that this woman, the unrelated woman, should actually be permitted. V'sharya. And then he actually said it was mutter. However, v'chader chaz yeleisura. But then afterwards, he said that she was asur. Meaning he had a change of heart about what to do with the unrelated woman. V'ayi d'chavivalei. And since, again, this new Mishnah was more chaviv to him, Akdima, he put it first. Umishnah lo zazam im koma, and this Mishnah remained in its place. Bless you. So the idea the Gemara is saying over here is that Lamaisa, there was a change of heart of the Tana. The Tana originally thought that perhaps the unrelated woman should be totally muteres, and again, therefore, but then he changed his mind. The change in his mind is reflected in the previous Mishnah. He put that Mishnah first because that Mishnah reflected the change in thought. Therefore, it's more chaviv to him, and our Mishnah remained in its place. So essentially, the Gemara is saying is yes. It is redundant. It's expressing the same exact theme. But Lamaisa, we see an evolution in the Tana's thinking. Fine. Case number three. Shlosha Achim, three brothers. I will say again, so this is case number three. Case number three on the sheets. Shlosha Achim. So what happens? Shlosha Achim, three brothers. Shnayim mehen nisuin shtei achayos. So there are two of them who are married to two sisters. Ve'echad nasui nochris. And one of them is married to an unrelated woman. Meis echad mibale achayos. One of the brothers who was married to a sister went ahead and died. V'kineis nasui nochris es ishto. And what happened? And then the brother who is married to the unrelated woman does yibum with his sister-in-law. Umeisa ishto shalsheni. And what happened? The wife of the second one died. V'acharkach meis nasli nachris. So take a look over here. So look at case number three, the sheet number three. So you have again Reuven, Shimon, Levi. Same basic case. Reuven and Shimon are married to sisters. Rachel and Leah. Levi is married to an unrelated woman. What happens? Shimon died. So Levi goes ahead and does Yibum. Levi does Yibum with Leah. Then what happens? So now I go back up to the Mishnah for just one moment. So the Gemara says, So again, remember, that's line number two. Levi does Yibum with the wife of Shimon. And then what happens? Umeisa ishto shalsheni. Then what ends up happening is, Umeisa ishto shalsheni. And then what ends up happening is Leah dies. Leah dies in this case. Okay?
Rachel dies. Reuven's wife.
I'm sorry, Rachel dies, excuse me, I'm sorry. So we still show Shani in this case is Reuven, the second brother who is married to the sister. I'm sorry, thank you. So Reuven's wife dies, Rachel dies, Mesa Ishto Shel Shani, the Acher Kach, Mes Nosui Nochris. And then what happens? Then Levi dies. Okay? So Shabbos said, now what happens when Levi dies? So now Levi's wife, remember Levi's two wives, excuse me, both fall for Yibum to Reuven. Now remember, in this case over here, so the unrelated woman is still an unrelated woman. Leah was the sister of Reuven's wife who passed away. So remember, again, it's a former Achos Ishto. So what happens? So Hare Zu Asura Olav Olamis. So now the Gemara says again, so Reuven can never do Yibum with Leah. Why? Hoil Vineasra Alav Sha'achos. Because since at some point in time Leah was Asr to Reuven. Why was Leah Asr to Reuven? Because she was the sister of his wife. Even though now what? Even though now Rachel has passed away, she's no longer alive, but nevertheless, because Leah was Reuven's wife's sister, that Isser remains forever. And of course, by extension, once Leah is going to be Asr, then what? Then the unrelated woman who is her Tsara, who is her co-wife, will be Asura as well. Says the Gemara, Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Amar Rav, Kol Yevama She'in Ani Kora B'Shas Nefila, Yevama Yavo Aleha, Harehi Ke'eshes Ach She'esh Labanav Asura. So Bosa, if you remember again, we actually stated this earlier. Anytime you have a Yevama who is unable to perform Yibum with the surviving brother at the time that she became a Yevama, she is no different than a regular sister-in-law who has children, i.e., she's an Erva. Another Bosa, what that means is that if, let's say, at the time that a husband dies, the wife is unable to do Yibum with the surviving brother, even if circumstances change just a short time later, she still can't do Yibum because the ability to do or not to do Yibum is concretized and solidified when? At the moment of death of the brother. So if you can't do it at the moment of death, then you are not part of the parasha of Yibum at all. What's the Chiddush? Tanina, we already learned this. Hare zu asura alav olamis. Hoil v'ne'esra alav shachas. Exactly what the Mishnah said. The Mishnah said that this one, Rabosai, remember, again, in this case, looking in still in case number 3, we're talking over here in the last line about Leah. Because since Leah was the sister of Rachel, that Isser remains, and therefore, again, she's forever prohibited to Reuven. Even though now what? Even though now Lemaisa, and Rabosai, what the Gemara is actually referring to over here is like this. You see, go back up one line for just a moment, the middle line of case number 3. You see, when Shimon died, remember, technically speaking, either brother could go ahead and do Yibum, right? But then remember, in fact, that's not totally true. Why? Because when Shimon died, Reuven couldn't do Yibum. Why couldn't Reuven do Yibum? Because Reuven was married to Leah's sister, Rachel. So essentially, the Gemara is saying over here is that because in the previous Yibum, Reuven was not able to go ahead and do Yibum with Leah because she was his wife's sister. Therefore, Lemaisa, even now later on when Levi dies, he's still out of the parasha of Yibum, even though by this point in time, what's occurred? Rachel, Reuven's wife, Leah's sister, has already passed away. Once he was unable to do Yibum in the previous Yibum iteration, he's not able to do it here either. So the Gemara says, my kamash. So we learned this already. So the Gemara says, "Ma'u detema hani mi." So now the Gemara says, "Let's analyze this." Ma'u detema. What would you have thought? Hani mi the heicha delo echaz yilei ben afila rishona. This is only true when she's not fit for him. Ben afila rishona in the first act of yibum, in the first time that yibum occurred. However, aval heicha di echaz yilei ben afila rishona ema tishteri. So we'll say here's what's interesting. Take a look at Rashi over here. So Rashi says, "Benefila Rishona, Kozman Nefila Rishona, Haise Ishto Kaya Meshiach Osa." So Rabbi say, in this case over here, when Leah first is widowed, so Reuven is still married to his sister. Reuven is still married to Leah's sister. And therefore, Lamai said, that's why Yibum can't occur when Shimon passed away. So I might have thought, when do we say that you can't do Yibum in such a situation, even if the wife passes away? When the first time that Yibum came up, he wasn't able to do Yibum. And once he was nitche, so to speak, once he was set aside from doing Yibum, so he would not be able to do Yibum even when the next brother passes away. To which the Gemara says, "Vaheicha dechazle ben afilu rishona ema tishteri." But perhaps again, if he would have been permitted to do Yibum the first time, then lemaisa again, perhaps perhaps he would have been able to do Yibam when Shimon subsequently passes away. Kamash Bolon, that is not the case. So we'll say now what does that mean? Look at Rashi. V'heicha dechazi benefil rishona kigon shemese ishto achar misas echav lo kinsa nasui nachris. To which the Gemara says the following. So we'll say, so what the Gemara is suggesting is like this. I might have thought that, let's say, had Rachel passed away before Shimon passed away, then maybe when Shimon died, Reuven would have been able to go ahead and do Yibum with Leah. To which the Gemara is now telling us, Kamashon, that is not the case. The Isser of Achos Isha would have still applied even in that situation. To which the Gemara says, but 1 second, Hanami Tanina, we also learn that. Shnei Achin Nisuin Shtei Achayos, if there are two brothers who are married to two sisters, Meis Echad Mehem, one of the brothers died, V'achar Kach Meisa Ishto Shalsheni. So we'll say in this case over here, we mentioned this case earlier. Two brothers married to two sisters, one brother died, and now we'll say, obviously, in that case, Reuven and Shimon are married to Rachel and Leah. So now Reuven dies, Shimon obviously can't do Yibam in that situation because his sister-in-law is also what? Is also his wife's sister. And obviously he can't have a Yibam situation like that. However, what happens if Va'achar Kach Meisa Ishto Shalsheni? But then let's say, then Shimon's wife dies. So now Reuven dies, and then afterwards Shimon's wife dies, which means what? Now Reuven's widow is no longer Shimon's wife's sister. Why? Because Shimon's wife is now dead. So the halacha is, Harezu Asura Alav Olamis. You still can't do Yibam. Why? Because ultimately, again, Reuven's widow is still usher to Shimon under the umbrella of Achos Ishto, one's wife's sister. Hoil V'Nasra Alav Shah Achos. Because she was prohibited to him in one moment. This goes back to a general central thing that we've established, that the halachic nature of relationships are established at the moment of death. So for example, in this case over here, Reuven died, and at the moment that Reuven died, Shimon was unable to do Yibam. Why? Because his wife was the widow's sister. Right? Because again, Reuven's widow was Shimon's wife's sister, and you can't marry to two sisters. Therefore, even if, let's say, a day later, what happens? Shimon's wife dies. And remember, we'll say, the Isser of Achos Ishto, the Isser of marrying your wife's sister, is only applicable when? Only when your wife is alive, right? If a wife is not alive, then there's no Isser marrying her sister. So I might have thought over here that once Shimon's wife dies, he should be able to do Yibum with Reuven's wife. Kamash Malon, no. Because why? Hoil v'ne'asra alav sha'achos. Because since at the moment when the Yibum obligation was created, i.e. at the death of Reuven, Shimon was unable to do Yibum with Reuven's widow because it was his wife's sister, that's it, you're out of the parasha. We've established this concept over and over and over in different ways. So the Gemara says, Mal d'tim, what would I have thought? Hasam hu d'idchile mehai beisa legamre. I would have thought like this. The reason why that case that we just quoted, why I understand it, is because in that case, there's no possibility of Yibum. Meaning there's only one surviving brother, and at the moment of the death of Reuven, Shimon is married to the widow's sister. So Yibum is impossible. Literally, she is set aside from that house, from that familial house altogether. No possible Yibum. Aval hacha, dilo itchile mehai beis salagamre, ema migi dechaz lahai, nasli nachris nami chazi nami lahai. But I'm both like, going back to our case number three. See, in case number three, remember, this is different. Because looking back at the image again, when Shimon dies, as much as Leah can't do Yibam with Reuven, she can do Yibam with Levi, meaning it's still in the family. There still is a possibility, ultimately, of Yibam. So I might have thought that, again, since Leah is permitted to Levi, then down the road, as long as Reuven's circumstances change and his wife dies sometime soon, then Lemais, again, she should be permitted to Reuven. Kamash Molono. Kamash Rabo said that essentially what we say is that Halacha Lemaisa, once she was prohibited to Reuven. Now the interesting part that we're discussing over here is essentially once a Yibum situation has occurred and she has become prohibited to one brother, that prohibition remains in place even in subsequent iterations of the Yibum. So for example over here, just to close out this case, if you look back at this case over here, case number three, so remember again, when Shimon dies, which is line number two, if Shimon dies in line number two, so remember, at that moment when Shimon dies, Leah cannot do Yibam with Reuven. Why not? because at the end of the day, Reuven is married to Leah's sister. And I will say, once that Isra has been established in the Yibum context, that Isra sticks, even if what? Even if circumstances change. So for example, in line number 3, by the time we get to line number 3, what happened between line number 2 and line number 3? Rachel died. So by the time that Reuven's brother Levi passes away, Reuven is no longer married to Leah's sister. So I might have thought that now when Levi dies, Reuven is the only remaining brother. I might have thought that now that Reuven is no longer married to Rachel, he could do Yibam with Leah. Kamash Malan what? No, because since already there was a prohibition on him with Yibum with Leah in line number two, that prohibition remains in effect. Okay, says the Mishnah.
Yibum is not a regular marriage.
But Yibum is not like a regular.
That is correct. Yib, correct. There's another example. So you see a theme developing where we're kind of playing this on both sides. On one hand, we treat Yibum certain places like a regular marriage, but on the other hand, it's clearly not correct. Says the Mishnah. We'll say case number 4. Shlosha Achim, three brothers. Shneimen nesun shtei achayos. Again, we'll say same thing. Two brothers are married to two sisters. Ve'echa nasli nochris. One of them is married to an unrelated woman. Girish echad mi ba'ali achayos es ishto. Oh, so we'll say, so nobody's dying yet. So what happens over here? So Shimon, don't worry, it'll come soon, right? So Shimon, just divorce, right? So if you look, we'll say in the picture for case number 4. So what happens? Same thing. Reuven and Shimon married to two sisters, but in this case, Shimon divorces his wife Leah. So what happens? So one of the brothers married to one of the sisters, i.e. Shimon, divorces Leah. Umeis nasui nochris. So Rabbi said, then what happens? What happens then ultimately is Levi dies. So this is line number 2. So remember, in line number 1 is the divorce. Line number 2, Levi dies. And what happens? V'kinsa ha-magaresh. Who married her? Who does Yibum? Shimon did Yibum in this case. Shimon, the divorcee, does Yibum in this particular case. V'kinsa ha-magaresh umeis. And then what happens? Shimon died. Right? So Shimon did Yibum, Shimon died, and what happens? V'kin samagarish umeis, zoi shamru, this is what we said in the first Mishnah, v'chulon shemesu, oniskarshu, sarosemi toros. Now, Bosa, here's an interesting case, because what happened over here? Shimon was married to an erva of Rachel. He was married to an Eva of Rachel, but he divorced her. Then what happened? He married a regular unrelated woman. Well, I should say he did Yibum with his unrelated sister-in-law, and what happens? Shimon dies. So if you go back to the last line, what does the Mishnah teach me? That when Shimon dies, Reuven is permitted to go ahead and what? Reuven is permitted to do Yibum with the unrelated woman. Abba says, you'll see this. So what's the chiddush in that? So, because I might have thought that since at one point in time, Shimon was married to a woman who was an erva to Rachel, perhaps again, that would make the unrelated woman like the tzara, like the co-wife of Rachel's sister. Kamash Malon, no. Kamash Malon, that since the marriage dissolved, therefore, again, the unrelated woman has absolutely no connection to Leah, the divorcee, and therefore, in the event that Levi should pass away, Reuven is able to go ahead and do Yibum with the unrelated woman. Says the Gemara, Taima, the Giresh V'achar Kach Meis. Now, the reason why this case seems to work is why? Because ultimately, Shimon first went ahead and divorced Leah, and then he died. However, aval meis va'achar kach giresh. But ultimately, if let's say again, if Levi died, let's say Levi died, and then But if Levi died, va'achar kach giresh, and then Shimon did Yibum with his unrelated sister-in-law, and then he would have divorced his wife, then Asura. Rabbi said, because again, remember, if you look back at the case, the progression over here is Shimon first divorced his wife, then Levi died, then Shimon did Yibum. So that's why it sounds like, again, there's no connection between Leah and the unrelated woman, and therefore the unrelated woman is in no way a tzara, in no way a co-wife to Leah, and therefore ultimately when Shimon dies, unrelated woman is able to do Yibum with Reuven. But it sounds like over here, that let's say if we reverse the course of events a little bit, and let's say Levi first dies, Shimon marries unrelated woman while he's still married to Leah, and then subsequently he divorces Leah, and then he dies, it sounds like what? That the unrelated woman would not be able to do Yibum with Rachel. Amar Avashi is also Maris. This tells us, Yesh Zeka, Afilu Betrei Achi. So this would teach us that what? That Lamaisa, it would appear that there is a zeka, that there is a marital bond, even what? Even with two brothers. Look at Rashi. Betrei achi kagon hacha, dechimes nasui nochris, kodim girishin shalza, haisa zikuka lishne bali achayos, umahanya bazeka la ostra ala sheni. So that would sound like over here that Lamaisa Bosei. Now, if you say that, that would have to mean that at the time that Levi dies, which is, let's say, line number two in case number four, at the time that Levi dies, there is technically a zeka between the unrelated woman and both of the brothers, and that's why ultimately, again, she would be considered to be a tsara to Leah, even before anything happens, which would then preclude her from doing Yibum later on when Shimon dies with Reuven, to which the Gemara says, Ul Rav Ashi, Kasha. But according to Rav Ashi, who said on the top of Amud Aleph that there is no Zeka, it's a Kasha. So the Gemara says, But according to Rav Ashi, again, ultimately, it would be a kasha based on what he said. Rav Nachman said before. Look at Rashi. Kasha to Rav Nachman. The daik le'el mistam masnisin zos someres ein zeka filu bechad. So we'll say Rav Ashi seems to say over here, based on what we just learned, it's clear that there's a zeka even with two brothers. But this is problematic. Why? Because beforehand, on top of the Amud, we said that according to Rav Nachman, it would appear that what there is no zeka. To which the Gemara says, it's not true. So Rav Ashi would say that it's not true. Even if they didn't do ma'amar, even if there wasn't a ma'amar, in he's going back over here. Rashi says over here, Rav Ashi, hahi diyuka de la'el lav dafka dehuadin afa gavdalo avad ma'amar bal hanochris ba'achos ishes ochiv kishiyamos hanochris ishto michlatz chotza. He's going back above saying, referring back to the previous case in the top of the Amud. So Rav Ashi is saying it's what we said before would be true even if Ma'amar was not done. The law of it by Ma'amar, Nochris Michlas Chalza, Yivumi Lo Miyavma. So still, again, the unrelated wife would only be able to do Chalitza. There would never be Yibum. Vahadik Tani Ma'amar, but now to which we said Ma'amar, again on the top of Amud Aleph, La'afuke Beishamai, comes to exclude the position of Beishamai, which Rabbah said we learned yesterday. The Amri Ma'amar Kona. Amud Beis, Ma'amad Kona, Kinyon Gomer. That Ma'amar affects a full marital acquisition. Kamash Molon Duloki Beis Shammai. Kamash Molon Rabosai, that we would not pass like Beis Shammai. I, Ulu Rav Nachman, and Rabosai, Rav Nachman, who said before on the top of Amud Aleph, that what? Ein Zeka, there is no connection. Kasha de Rav Ashi. According to him, what do you do with Rav Ashi? Rav Ashi says it's clear that there is a Zeka, even to what? Even to two brothers. V'chitema huadin afda afilu meis v'achar kach gireish tsaras muteres. So we'll say, maybe you'll say that even if Levi dies, and afterwards, only afterwards, does Shimon divorce his co-wife, muteres, that then again, when Shimon dies, she should be permitted to go out and do Yibum with Reuven. Ela Zohi l'mi utemai. If that's the case, then what does the Zohi, when the Mishnah says Zohi, this is the case, what does that come to exclude? To which the Gemara says l'mi ute kines v'acharkach girish. Does that not come to include the case of where Shimon married her and then only afterwards divorced her? So the Gemara says hani chayisav l'krab yirmiyah. That works fine if you hold like Rabbi Yirmiyah. What does Rabbi Yirmiyah say? The Amar Tavra mi sheshanazu lo shanazu. So both like the easiest way to reconcile, essentially what we're saying over here to make this simple is you have a contradiction between the Mishnayos. Because the first Mishnah, I'm going to try to simplify it, because the first Mishnah on Aleph just simply says, the inference from it is, in Zeka, there's no marital bond between the Yavama and the surviving brothers. This Mishnah indicates Yesh Zeka. So we'll say, what is the easiest way to reconcile the contradiction? The easiest way? Two different authors. And we'll say, by the way, that's not a cop-out. That is absolutely legitimate, because it will say Mishnayos do have different authors. So the simplest way to say it is, Misha Shanazu lo Shanazu, V'hai Tana Savar Misa Mapeles, V'hai Tana Savar Nisuin Harushonim Mapilim. Rabosei, this is also, remember, another fundamental machlokes. Remember, again, when do we say that the relationships of brothers and sisters-in-law, when are they established? Are they established at the time that the brothers marry their wives, or are they established at the time when the brother dies? So we'll say, you'll say, what's the nafkamina between that? The nafkamina will be in these Yibum situations where, again, let's say you have a situation where a brother is married to someone who's an erva, to the Yivama, at the time that everybody's married. But by the time that she becomes a Yavama, he's no longer married to that woman. Could he do Yibum with the Yavama or not? It depends. Do we solidify the halachic relationships at the time of the marriage, or do we solidify the halachic relationships at the time of the death? So the Gemara says, Zohi Lame'ute. So again, and what would the Zohi in the Mishnah come to exclude? It would come to exclude the case of Kina Kanas, Olubasov Giresh. The case of where he married the Yavama, but again, before he died, he had already divorced the other woman. Perhaps we could hold like Rava, and Rava says that in reality it's only one Tana. And so how do you reconcile the two Mishnayis? V'zu ve'ein sarach lomar zu katoni. And also remember, there's a stylistic idea in the Mishnah that sometimes Mishnayis will state things that are obvious. It's called zu v'af zu, that even though I don't need to say this, but sometimes we'll say it anyway. So the Gemara says, and therefore again, v'zu ve'ein sarach lomar zu katoni. So the Gemara says, that's the case. Zohi l'me'utei mai. So when the Mishnah says this is the case, what does it come to exclude? So the Gemara says, al karche k'Rabbi Yirmiyah Sirele. It must be what? It must be that we actually hold like Rabbi Yirmiyah. Ulrava, hani cha'isar l'kravashi, zohi l'me'utei meis below giresh. And according to Rava, if you're like Ravashi, so then the Zohi in the Mishnah comes to exclude the case of where he died without divorcing the other wife. Eli Yisrav l'krav Nachman, but if you hold like Rav Nachman, Zohi l'me'ute mai, then what ultimately does the Zohi, which is the exclusionary phrase in Mishnah, what does that come to exclude? Al karchach kiravashi svirale. It must be what? It must be coming to tell us that Lamaisa, according to this Mishnah, we're holding like Ravashi, which teaches us what? That Yesh Zeka. So we'll say what comes out of this is, Halacha l'maisa, we have a fundamental machlokes of yesh zeka or ein zeka. And depending on how you hold in that, that'll color all of these cases. You should know the Rambam Paskins like this Mishnah, and therefore Rabosai, this case, actually, as much as this Gemara was a little bit confusing, this case is actually the easiest of all the cases that we've learned so far in the Masechta, because it's the most clear cut. Again, so just to review it, it's this case, it's case number 4. So very simply, all this is saying over here is that in this case over here, when Shimon divorces his wife, prior to doing Yibum with the unrelated woman, when Shimon subsequently dies, the unrelated woman is able to do Yibum with Reuven, despite the fact that what? That at one point in time, her husband was married to an erva of Reuven's wife. As long as, Lamaisa and Abosai, this only works assuming what? Remember, the operative thing to remember in this case is, this only works if Shimon divorced Leah before he did Yibum with the unrelated woman. Because had he, let's say, again, had this been reversed, and let's say had Shimon done Yibum with Levi's wife while he was still married to Leah, at that point, unrelated woman becomes a tzara of Leah, who is Rachel's sister, and therefore, even if Shimon subsequently divorced her, Lemaisa, again, When he dies, she is considered to be a tzara, and therefore not be able to do Yibam. But in this case over here, because essentially Shimon severed his marriage to the sister of Rachel before he did Yibam with unrelated woman, therefore when he dies, she's able to do Yibam with Reuven. Okay, that's the take-home message. Mishnah. V'chulon shahayu bohen kiddushin o gerushin b'safek. Now, also, isn't that actually very interesting? It's getting a little bit off topic, but what's interesting is the following. Now, we've been talking about all these different variations of cases. Let's say, however, there was some level of halachic ambiguity or doubt in the marriage itself. For example, v'chulon shahayu bohen kiddushin o gerushin b'safek. Let's say again, in all of these cases where a man was married to a Rabosai, look at Rashi. He says, V'chulon tesvav arayos. This goes back to the first Mishnah. Remember, again, we had a whole list of women that do not do Yibum. And we say do not do Yibum, meaning they're not allowed to do Yibum. So let's say again, a man was married to one of these women, but it was a suffix if the Kiddushin was good. Or he divorced one of these women, it was a suffix if the Gerushin was good. So I'll give you just a simple example. So Reuven is married. Reuven and Shimon are married to... Reuven and Shimon are married to sisters, and what happens? And Shimon is also married to another woman, we'll call her unrelated woman. Okay, so Shimon has two wives, Reuven has one. Now what happens? Reuven dies, so now his widow falls to Shimon. So what's the issue? So you say to yourself, well, again, obviously Shimon is married to the Yavama's sister, so there's no Yibum. Let's say, however, Shimon's relationship to his wife number one, who is the sister of the Yavama, was shaky. Shaky in what sense? It was a safek kiddushin, or he tried to divorce her, but it was a safek gerushin. So what happens to Yibum in those kind of cases where the woman who would prevent Yibum from occurring is what? Is a safek. Is a safek. So the Gemara says, what do you do in those cases? Hari elu hatsaros choltos l'min siyabma. So I will say, you know what, the truth is, the better case would actually be, forget I said that. The better case actually is, let me reverse it. Reuven is married to two women, right? Reuven and Shimon are married to sisters. So again, but Reuven has another wife who's also unrelated. Reuven dies. Reuven dies. Now what happens? Now let's say Reuven's wife number one, who is the sister of Shimon's wife. So it wasn't clear if the kiddushin was a good kiddushin or not a good kiddushin, or he tried to divorce or wasn't good if the divorce was good or not. So I must say, interestingly enough, the fact that that wife can't do Yibum or Chalitza, that we understand, because she's a sister of the co-wife of the Yavam. The Shaila is what? What's the impact on the unrelated wife? This wife number two of Reuven, who's now dead, what does she do? Is she a tzara or not a tzara? So the Gemara says, in any case where there is a Safek Kiddushin or Gerushin, Hare Elu Atzaros Choltzos, So what do we do in a case of Safek? Very simple. We do Chalitza. So we'll tell wife number two of Reuven, listen, we're not 100% sure what your status is exactly. We're not sure if you're the tzara. We're not sure if you're the tzara of the sister of Shimon's wife. We're not sure. So again, so therefore, halacha l'maaseh, we'll tell you to do chalitza and not yibum. So now the Gemara says, what are the examples of safek kiddushin, safek gerushin? Ketzad safek kiddushin. What's the case of safek kiddushin? Zarak la kiddushin, safek karavla, safek karavlo. Well, safek karavlo, I'll say, very romantic. What happens? He takes the kesef kiddushin, he throws it at her. Right? He throws it at her. And what happens? Again, I will say, the halacha is that when you're standing in Dalet Amos, when you're standing in Rosh HaRabim, you have your Dalet Amos. You have Dalet Amos, which you could acquire something. So again, they're standing exactly 8 Amos apart. This is frum. This is the way it's supposed to be done. Right? So what happens? He has his Dalet Amos, she has her Dalet Amos, and let's say in their Dalet Amos Mamish end, right next. Damas, they're not touching. Right? But they literally get to each other like that. And then what happens? He throws her kiddushin. He throws her kesef, he throws her ring. Kesef kiddushin. And what happens? It's not sure. Did it land in his Dalet Amos? Did it land in her Dalet Amos? So they were never sure. And then what happens? Obviously, why don't you look? Let's say in the case where somebody picked it up in the interim. So the mice again, you're not sure. Was it close? Safek karov lo? Was it close to Nabosa? Again, if it's close to him, then it's not kiddushin. If it's close to her, then it's kiddushin. So I don't know. That's a case of safek kiddushin. Or what's a case of safek gerushin? What's a case of doubtful divorce? Let's say he went ahead and he wrote her a get in his own handwriting, but there are no witnesses on it. And I will say, the fact that he wrote it in his own handwriting is indicative of the fact that what? That clearly he wants to divorce her, right? But the problem is, there are no witnesses on it. Or Yesh alav eidim ve'in mozman. There are witnesses on it, but there's no date. I will say, we will see a get must be dated. The reason for that is why? Because remember, again, with the get, a woman has the ability to collect property, to collect a husband's assets, and the date is very important because the maisa, again, she could only collect from assets the only assets encumbered were the assets were encumbered during the course of the marriage. Any assets afterwards will not be encumbered. So the maisa is therefore, again, let's say you have a get and there's no date on it, or yesh bozman ve'in bo ela edechad, or the get has a date but it has only the signature of one witness. I will say, in all of these cases, when we get to Gittin, we'll see it, these are all cases of Gittin which are technically kasher midaraisa but pasul midrabanan. And therefore, in these cases, if you gave a get like this, zeo safek erishin. So I will say, in all of these cases where, let's say again, we're not sure what Reuven did with wife number one, who happens to be the sister of Shimon's wife, so therefore we're not sure, so it's a safek gerushin or safek gittin. In all of these cases, wife number two, so we're not sure, is she the tzara of an erva or not the tzara of an erva? So we're not sure. So the maisa, again, we make her do libum and not chalitza. Excuse me, she has to do chalitza and not yibum. So the maisa is interesting, Rabbi Zeh, it's fascinating. The ilu, begerishin, safek karov lo, v'safek karov lo, lo katani. Then I will say, what's interesting is the following. If you notice, you would have thought, or I would have thought, that Lamaisa, the Gemara would have used symmetrical cases. So if a case of Safek Kiddushin is where a man threw Kesef Kiddushin and he's not sure, was it close to her or was it close to him? So what would be a case of Safek Gerushin? Yeah. Same thing. And I'm about to say, this is a Mefursha case in Gittin. We learned this many moons ago. We learned this case in Gittin. He takes a get, throws a get, and by the way, this is much more Matsui. This is you'd find this case, I would think, much more commonly by Gittin than you would find it by Kiddushin, right? So what's going to happen? He's throwing the get at her. And again, why don't you say the case of Safek Gerushin is, he's not sure, does it land in her Dalaramis or did it land in the husband's Dalaramis? So the fact that the Gemara did not go ahead and write this indicates to us what? That Lamaisa, it would appear that in a case of Safek Karov Lo, that the Gemara doesn't even treat this as a case of Safek, but it's almost Vadai that such a case would not be Migureshes. My time, what's the reason for that? Amar Rabba says, I'll tell you why. Because Isha Zu, if we take a quick look at Rashi says over here, Ve'ilu Begirishin, Safek Karov Lo Katani, the Hasam Afilu Chalitza Nami Lo Baya Sarasa. So the Gemara says again, because in that case it would appear that if he had thrown a get, certainly again, she would not require any kind of Chalitza. And I will say, if you say that the second wife does not require any kind of Chalitza, what does that tell you about the case of Safek Karov Lo? It means what? That they're still married. There's not even a Shaila. Of course they're married. And I will say, remember, because if they're married, then it's for sure that wife number two is what? Is the Tzara of an Erva. And when you're the Tzara of an Erva, you don't have to do Chalitza. There's nothing. You're totally outside of the parasha of Yibum. So the Gemara says, why is that? My time, Amar Rabba, Isha Zu Becheskas Heter Lushuk Omedes. Because, Arvas, you know what? Actually, we're going to stop over here. We'll stop over with Amar Rabba. I'm going to leave you on the cliffhanger of the My Time. I'm sorry. Stop, pick up with Rabba tomorrow, Mir Sasha. Yeah, with the card, exactly.